everyone, welcome to another episode of AV Insider. As always, I'm your host, Johnny Moda. I hadn't changed my name since I moved here to this state to get away from my children. Just kidding, that never happened. As always, I have a special guest, but before I have them on, I gotta thank the sponsors. They keep this wonderful Northern California cloud moving along through the distance and the coastal fog. As always, it's Ingram Micro, the world's largest technology distributor, delivering flexible multi-channel supply chain solutions and more. If you head over to ingrammicro.com, you do not need the triple W's. That is the old way of doing it, unless your coder wrote it that way. Head over to ingrammicro.com. You can see all the solutions they have for you as an integrator. Some of my previous guests have even distribute their products there. I'm not going to tell you who they are. I'm just going to force you to go to ravepubs.com, ravepubs radio, tab, AV Insider, listen to my voice for hours at length. Or you can just head over to ingrammicro.com and find those products they have for you. As I mentioned, I have a special guest, as always. Today is going to be Mark Bishop, who is the owner and president of Lintech. Mark, thank you for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah. I always like to learn about the company, and that's the topic, obviously, is your company. It's not about me, but before we do that, I like learning about the people behind the company. So maybe you can give me a quick little, or as long as you want, brief overview. How did you get into the tech business? How did you get into this industry?
Well, I've been in tech for 35 years, but I really have just been into AV since 2006. I actually started out in the cable television space. So I was in cable television for about 25 years through a variety of roles, but, you know, started out in programming with HBO, and then after they started scaling back, I took a look at technology and got into that in about 92, 93, and had a great time, great success there, and I was looking to spread my wings and find a business. Couldn't find one in the cable space, but I found this really interesting little business called Lintech in the AV space, and it took me about 9 months to really get comfortable with it, but it's just technology to a much nicer group of people. So so I purchased the company in 2006 and have had a great time running it ever since.
Cool. So not your first job. Awesome. Some people, when I ask them that, they're like, this is the first tech job, or literally my first, second job ever, and I just stuck with that long. So it's kind of rare that you get that, but it's always interesting to know where the people at the company come from before where we are today. And it's always kind of neat.
Well, it's all been technology, but this is like I said, my first run in the AV space, and okay. And it's been a fantastic run. I got to tell you, man, cable, you get used to the industry that you're in, and you don't know that there's a better thing out there. I love AV, great people, great space, growing space. So it's a great place to be.
Now, tell me a little bit about Lintech. Sorry, what is Lintech, and what does your company offer?
Lintech manufactures is the low voltage control system that allows you to control either motorized circuit breakers or electrical relays in the space of controlling AVL systems. So we manufacture the low voltage control. And then we build systems out of our partner high voltage companies like Square D for motorized circuit breakers, Panasonic or GE for relays, that type of thing. So we're in a sense, I mean, we call ourselves a manufacturer, but really we're an assembler. We are an assembly house. We put the systems together that allow people to control AVL, to their choosing, to their liking.
So you're actually partnered with Square D and manufacturers of breakers and things like that, the components of your systems, correct?
Yeah. I mean, high voltage stuff is, it's a very costly business. There's a lot of 800-pound gorillas out there that make great product.
Sure.
But really what they don't offer, Square D doesn't offer it, Siemens, Eaton, Color Hammer, whatever you want to, call them, those guys. I mean, they build great control systems for industrial use, basically. I mean, that's their bread and butter is big General Motors and Ford car plants and Boeing plants and that type of stuff. And, what we do is build the control that allows an AVL designer and or integrator to, integrate power very, very easily into their design.
Okay, so give me... I see it in my mind, right? An AVL, audio-video lighting integrator, contractor, designer.
Right.
They're working with high voltage or something like that. You build the control system to control those things associated with line voltage and also low voltage systems?
Well, we build a low voltage that controls high voltage, but we all of our control is at the circuit level, is at the branch circuit level.
Right, okay.
So we're not controlling a single outlet. We're controlling all of the outlets on a circuit breaker.
Okay.
All the outlets on a relay. And the story of how we got started might kind of put this in perspective, you know, because Lynn Potter, the gentleman who started Lintech, was in signal processing for years, and some of his audio consultants came to him in the late 80s and said, you know, we're designing these great reinforced sound systems for churches. We're putting in a $200,000 sound system, and then they're sending a 13-year-old in the back to click on a bunch of circuit breakers, and they're blowing speakers.
Yeah.
It's not my fault. You know, they're claiming, they're crying bad design, and it's really poor user operation.
Sure.
So can you come up with a way, because Lynn kind of had this reputation as being the, you know, based an inventor. He created a lot of innovative products back in the 70s and 80s to help his audio buddies out. So he came up with, he found these controllable devices and in essence just bought a, you know, real simple circuit board. He built a circuit board that you could land these either motorized circuit breakers to or relays to. And with the touch of a single button, you could turn on all the circuit breakers that controlled all your entire audio system with the touch of a single button, turns front of house on first, then it would, you know, sequence through the amplifier, spread out inrush, control turn on, bingo, problem solved. Well, you know, he had NSCA 1 year with that, and the next thing he knew, he had lines out of the booth, you know, hey, let's see this thing, because everybody was having the same problem. So if you think about Lintech, you know, if you think about like a typical kind of corporate AV job, we don't fit. You know, if there's a small rack, maybe it's two or three circuits, and you can control them all in the rack, right?
Or a larger space scenario.
And they're controlling at the point. Yeah, we're big venues.
Sure.
You know, we're churches. We're theaters. We're performing arts centers and that kind of stuff, where you've got high power stuff spread out all over the place. Everything right. always comes back to a power panel, and that's where we operate.
Okay. A lot of relay-driven stuff, it sounds like, right? Because you're maybe load shedding, turning things on and off remotely.
Right.
A lot of relays, probably.
Do all that stuff. Well, yeah, the
sequencing, relays, things like that.
Yes. Sequential on and off is obviously a staple. That's for the big audio systems. Although it is now also being used in turning on and off big LED video walls, that type of thing. They need to be sequenced on and off. But we're also doing individual circuit control for LED lights. So it's really any kind of audio, video, or lighting type of installation. And because we work at the circuit breaker panel, we can actually do it all through, you know, your group of two or three or four panels that's controlling all of that gear.
Okay, so that is a great basic understanding of what Lintech, who Lintech is, and what your system offers, and at what level Lintech comes in. But I think a better understanding is why you and I talked offline, and we were discussing the reason for Lintech. There's a problem with the industry, right? And Lintech is helping to promote or not eradicate, maybe solve it. And is that the right, way of saying that?
Well, I like the word solving, so let's stick with
Lintech
that.
Is solving a problem in our industry. Let's talk about what that problem is and how you're solving it.
Okay. Well, as I mentioned, you know, I mean, what I find interesting about this is that it's just the evolutionary process that we're going through right now. As I mentioned, you know, when I purchased the company in 2006, our sole product was still audio system sequencing. That's all we did.
Okay.
And Lynn had an idea, and he expressed this to me when he sold the company. He said, you know, LED lighting is going to be huge. Every light fixture right now goes back to a dimmer rack in the back, and in that dimmer rack they put a relay module so they can turn that light on and off. But he said those dimmer racks are going away because once they convert to LED lighting, there's no dimmer rack in the back because the dimming takes place inside the LED fixture. So as the fixtures become, as the intelligence moves out of the back of the room into the fixture, you're going to have a huge opportunity in lighting. And he had actually started work on his first lighting control panel. We introduced that in about 2008. And you talk about a yawn. I mean, it was the ugliest introduction I've ever been through. I mean, everybody that we talked to said, you're going to make great sequencing stuff. Stick with that. We don't need you in lighting. We're doing just fine with dimmers.
Thanks. And we don't need you, but you just yeah, keep making your thing. It's fine.
And we don't see dimmers going away. I mean, what problem are you solving?
Right.
And I got to be honest with you. I shelved it. I mean, I went straight out and started calling on AV guys, and I just kind of forgot all about lighting. Around 2010, our business just started going up like crazy. And I started calling some of these guys, you know, what am I missing here? I mean, there aren't that many more audio systems being installed. And I said, oh, lighting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's sometime between 2008 and 2010, you know, this revolution took place. Now we have the same thing in LED video walls. You know, LED video walls are all the rage. We went out and talked to some people. We didn't see an application. We kind of left it alone. Last summer, our business again was going through unexpected growth. I mean, growth well above what our normal growth would have been. I said, okay, we started asking people, what are you using this for? LED video walls. Well, how come? Well, because every time we turned our video wall on or off, you know, one of our panels in the middle of the thing would go out, and all of a sudden it was a major hassle, and it was always ugly and this kind of stuff. And we started looking into that, and they need to be sequenced on or off. It turns out that those, you know, and there was an article about this not too long ago in one of the trade pubs. Kadena did some research and found out that they pull almost 10 times as much current in startup as they do as they pull when they're just operating.
That's current.
So these guys are packing on too many panels into a single circuit, and obviously the inrush causes nuisance trips, it blows processors, causes all kinds of problems. Now the industry's settled down. They're putting more like 6 panels on a circuit. They're sequencing them on and off, and everybody's happy. Well, that's been a boon to our business and a brand new application for sequencing that we had no idea was on the horizon. Audio, you know, there's been a huge turn up in soft start amplifiers. They're fantastic. They're great. That made a lot of guys not want to turn their sequence on and off their audio systems. Lo and behold, our audio business started picking up this year over the winter. And the word got out that people were having problems because of the new digital protocols. All of a sudden, boot times are becoming really, really important in starting up front of house. So it isn't the amplifiers anymore. The audio guys want to use this. We sold 2 panels in the last 10 days because they cut out their power control because they had soft start amplifiers, and in turn they needed us for front of house. Because if you don't get everything booted up in the right sequence and fully booted up, then the two pieces of equipment don't do their handshake and they don't talk to each other. And people are calling up saying, you know, they can return on and off their front of house 2 or 3 times before they get everything talking to each other. And we can simplify that. We can automate that. So there's been a number of evolutionary things happening. So, you know, our audio business, which we thought was going to be destroyed by soft start amplifiers, is actually doing very nicely because of now digital protocol, you know, all the digital protocols out there. Lighting business, which we thought would never develop, suddenly is even bigger than our audio business. And LED video walls, which we had no idea were on the horizon, is just, you know, gravy at this point. So a lot of cool things are happening, but they all require sophisticated ways in which you can – simple ways to turn on complex systems, if that makes sense.
Yes. I've always been a fan of audio and video and controls. And as a child, my introduction to tech industry was a preteen working in a panel shop on motor controls for industrial controls and automation. I mean, live in the heart of wine country. So my father, being the VP of controls at a company, was like, it's summertime, you're not going outside. You got to learn how motor controls work, IOs, wiring has to be specific lengths, you know, and they need to be neat. They need to be labeled. They need to have wiring diagrams. When I go to service this and I check it out, it has to be like this. If you didn't do it like this, redo it. If I'm not the next guy going in and he has to deal with a rat's nest of garbage, redo it. It was a lot of learning how controls work, and it was in the industrial space. So a lot of my background comes from lighting control at a very young age. And back then I was like, it's summertime, I just want to go outside and play. But I'm actually really glad, because learning a lot about controls back then taught me a lot of what you're talking about now. And a lot of that has become more prevalent into building codes for commercial spaces. It also makes things easier. It streamlines processes. It eliminates a lot of the issues that you're seeing today with soft start amplifiers and things like that, sequencing. There is a process to the which things happen. And like you said, if you do them out of order, it's not going to work. And so there's a lot of troubleshooting that can be eliminated when you do things in a specific order and send them on their way. And that's all through automation. Right.
Yes.
Right. And like you said, the 13-year-old kid in the background just popping breakers and things like that. That doesn't work.
No, it
Or,
doesn't.
I mean, it may work eventually if you keep resetting front of house back and forth, but that's not necessary. With products like Lintec, you can bypass all of that and say, this is, let's say, with an actual design, this is the way things are supposed to sequence. These are the ways things are supposed to happen. Apply that through a system like Lintec, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen every time. And this is why. Which is why I'm really glad. I always preach controls to people, and they kind of look at me like, I just want simple switches. I'm like, we don't live in the past anymore. There's a reason for this. It's not just because you think it's cool.
Yep, exactly.
So I'm heavily pushing more lighting now than I am AV. Not that I don't do AV as well, but lighting controls is becoming more prevalent. Commercial is far advanced than resi, but resi is being pushed more into the forefront to trail behind them and become more savvy on controls. And I myself am going to be giving some talks with like the IES Society or Illumination Engineering Society about controls because of that reason. Because I feel like there's a lot of people out there that are still stuck in the ways of the old ways were so much simpler, but we don't live in the past anymore. There's so many new technologies, like you said, LEDs and things like that. There's a reason that we need controls. It's not just because it's cool.
Yes.
So
And it is a hot topic these days. I mean, it used to be we had to work hard to get people to talk to us. And
yeah.
now we're very, very busy with the people who are, ringing our phone saying, "I'd like to know more about this because I'm having some of these problems that I've heard about." So yeah, the world is turning, and I think people are more accepting of considering power control an essential part of an overall design, and not just kind of an afterthought, if that makes sense. They think about it from the get-go, not later on when the system's half built,
And it's a lot to do with companies like Lintec and other people putting out information about why this is important. Again, it's not just something that's cool. It works, and there's a reason for it. There's a process. The reason behind it is because it makes your systems work for you, right? While it may eliminate little Johnny in the background flipping switches back and forth behind the stage, it does streamline the process, and if anything, it makes it more efficient and it makes it actually work.
Yeah,
Which
and
is the
it brings
whole
me.
result. That's it. The whole point is to save time, energy, and money, in my opinion, is to make something work, make it efficient. A well-oiled machine works, and when designed properly, it works. It does it every time.
Yep, that's what we try to provide. Exactly.
So, where is Lintec based out of? You're here in the United States?
Yeah, Kansas City, basically. I mean, we're in Lenexa, which is a suburb of Kansas City.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And is all stuff built in-house? Like you said, you source some things through sister companies and things like that, but for the most part, it's all designed,
Yeah,
assembled there.
we build all of our own circuit boards. We write all of our own software. I mean, we have engineers on staff that manage that. And then we buy the high voltage gear and bring it in, and then we'll custom build the panels. Custom's a bad word. Everybody think that means lots of time and lots of expense, but really, when I say custom build, we're really just loading in circuit breakers, the right amperages and the right number of poles and that kind of stuff to match a specified panel schedule. And so we load it up to the customer specification. We add our low voltage control. We test the system complete, and then we ship it out, basically ready to be hung and installed by a local electrician.
Before we move on to this next segment about more about, I want to get into programming
Yeah.
and how it's done.
Sure.
I need to mention Ingram Micro in case you weren't listening in the beginning and you just skipped my little message about Ingram Micro. Head over to ingrammicro.com. They're the world's largest technology distributor delivering flexible multi-channel supply chain solutions and more. Head over to ingrammicro.com and you can see some of the products they have to offer for you as an integrator, solutions, and more. But you're only going to get that if you head over to ingrammicro.com. Mark, let's talk a little bit about the software. I am assuming this is a software thing. It's not just going up to a panel and just pushing buttons, right? Is it an actual a laptop thing, or is it much like I just said, where you're going up to your panel and inputting information through a button sequence?
No, it's programmable. I mean, we have the older systems that we still sell, what we call our legacy line, which are the lines designed by Lin. They've been improved over the years, but they're basically first generation motorized circuit breakers that there's a wire that connects them to a control board, and you set simple jumpers, and you can set your step rates and delay settings, or bring in your DMX and make it a lighting control, that kind of stuff. Those are legacy. The newer stuff, the things that are more popular these days, everybody's moving to the network. So what we call our RPC series of panels, either the RPC motorized circuit breaker line or the RPCR relay panel line, those both have an identical control system in it, and this is the part that we built. So it's just a small control board, but it's literally a web server. It has a web server built into it. So when you bring in your network wiring, so the electrician does the high voltage thing. He does the hots and neutrals and grounds. He covers up the high voltage segment of the panel. You open up the low voltage section of the panel, and you bring in your Ethernet connection from your network. Once your router sees the panel, it assigns it an IP address. Once you have that IP address, and it is selectable, so you can make it static or dynamic, that kind of thing. But once you see that IP address, any device on the network with the browser, provided that you gave them the username and password and the IP address, so it isn't just something that anybody will get into and start messing around with. I mean, it is protected. But once it's on your network, all you need is a device with a browser. That can be a smartphone, an iPad, laptop, computer, doesn't matter. It's got a browser, and you know the IP address and username and password. You can get into it and start setting it up. And is what we've set up is some very simple drop-down boxes, so you can select, for instance, very easily set up the astronomical clock for automatic on/off. You can set up zones. Inside those zones, you could set up sequential on/off. You hit the breaker button, you can select what the delay setting is, so every single step can be customizable between those two steps, anywhere from 25 milliseconds to 8 minutes in terms of step rate. I mean, it's really, really flexible. But again, and that's what makes it so simple. So through the web server, out of the box, you do not need another control system. We are completely self-contained. You can use our astronomical clock for automatic on/off. We have contact closure inputs, so you can use optical sensors, occupancy sensors. So if somebody walks into the production room, it can automatically turn on all the circuits in that room. If they walk into the sanctuary, it can turn on all the lights in the sanctuary, that kind of stuff. So it can all be automated through sensors out of the box. And then it has, of course, the browser control. So if you want, you could just use your iPhone. We have a free app that you can download. And you input your password and the username, the IP address, and then you can control it just by pulling your phone out of your pocket and start turning zones on and off and that type of thing. So it's really, really easy. However, and this is the thing that people have a hard time wrapping their head around, there are a number of manufacturers on the industrial side that make panels like the one I just described. They have a built-in clock and built-in contact closure inputs. But the other thing that we offer, again, as a standard part of our packages, is we are ready to be operated or controlled by any third-party control system you have on site. Because in the AVL world, you're usually going to have Crestron, you're going to have AMX, you're going to have Savant, you're going to have ETC. There's going to be another control system on site, and you don't want to have access to that panel through that control system. So we're DMX ready out of the box. We're IP ready out of the box. We're streaming ACN ready out of the box. RS-232 out of the box, and BACnet ready out of the box. So if you have an existing BACnet controller, you can use our zoning capability, set up your zones, and just turn the zones on and off, or you can take control of the individual breakers and set up all your macros inside of the BACnet controller. So we're completely self-contained, don't need a third party if you don't have a third party control system on site, but if you have a third party and you want to use that, all five of those interfaces are native. So you just bring in your connections. Tell us how you want to control it. We send you the hooks, if you will, to cut, copy, and paste, and put them into your control system, and you can start programming circuit control. It's It's very, very, very easy to set up.
So let's say I'm an outside contractor, the last programmer of a Lintec project moved on. He's no longer around, and they need someone to service it. And I'm already on the project doing some AV or whatever. Hey, can you work on this Lintec system I have here? You said it's protected generally, right? So if I go to the IP address, they may have a password. If I don't have it, I'm pretty much locked out, correct?
Well, this is a trade secret, but we have a backdoor built in.
We can talk about that off air.
We anticipated that problem,
But
so
let's
we.
say I get in, or I have to call Lintec. Hey, this is what's going on. I have permission, or however, or you can talk to the front of house. This is what's going on. I need to service a project. I've never been trained on your system. I don't, I do lighting controls and audio and video and automation. I need to service this. Is it something that I need to fly out to Kansas and take a week-long training to learn how to do, or is it something I can kind of get in and dabble at? You said it's pretty easy, but.
Well, here's the 2 steps I would recommend. I mean, we do have the owner's manual online, but even before you even look at that, everybody likes YouTube these days. We've got
Okay.
four videos. It's called our RPC Setup Series, 104, 204, 304, 404. If you watch those four videos, you've just wasted 13 and a half minutes of your life, and you can program our system. You'll know how to work with it. You'll know what all the major components are, how it fits together, how it operates, and what the basics of the programming are.
Well, then it wasn't a waste at all.
Well, I'm just saying, it's amazing because, as much play as videos get, they don't get hit as much as I would have thought they do. But
Yeah.
outside of that, I mean, it's a very short phone call. And since I've owned the company, we've had to send a man in the field 2 times.
Okay.
And it just very, very, very rarely has to happen. It's a very simple system. Actually, with the panel schedules, typically they go out in the field pre-programmed. So all you have to do is populate the zones,
Yep.
then and hook up your DMX or your IP connection, that kind of thing. But once it's up and working, we get a lot of phone calls from folks, and it's very, very easy to walk people through. It's a good system. And we're very good about returns too. I got to be honest with you. I mean, if there's a problem with the board, we'll replace it for free. We will overnight a board out, a new control board, that kind of thing. Things happen. We get that. Most times they come back and it's been a lightning strike, or it's been a user error kind of thing where they had wires crossed and shorted out one of the processors or something. But we're the small guy. We're the guy who needs to be extra friendly in order to make you feel justified in coming to us. It's a much different experience than working with a real bureaucratic company.
I
So.
gotcha. Now, let me. How do you get your product out there? Are you distribution? Are you direct to dealer? How is Lintec provided to the contractor, installer, programmer?
Well, still, we have a very large dealer network. I mean,
Okay.
that's typically how we go to market. But the first 20 years, we didn't. I mean, through Lynn's, Lynn really sold directly to consultants.
Okay.
And so still over half of all of the things that we sell are specified in at the very early stages of the project. So, we will call on consultants to keep the specification business alive. And that's how we get most of our EV business, is through the consultants who are designing the big jobs. Lighting is much more likely to go through the dealer network. It seems like lighting is something that's designed in, much more likely to be designed in for retrofits and that type of thing. And there's a lot of lighting retrofits going on right now. They've discovered they need control. So, I mean, we try to push everything through the AV dealer network. But the reality is still about half of our business comes through the consultant community, and we're put in the electrical budget, and then typically go out to bid as part of the electrical budget. So,
Okay.
and then that, and then it's bid on at that level. That makes sense.
No, it does. I myself come from a controls company who does lighting, audio, video, automation, and a little of everything in between. So, like, my day job when I'm not, well, because I'm not on the install side anymore, I do a lot of troubleshooting for people who have the products out there that I provide. Or here's a designed system, here's what it should be, or I'm an outside consultant. And then I'll get calls and like, oh, how do I do this? I'm like, well, did you do steps 1 through 4? I'm like, well, I skipped 2 and 3. I'm like, yeah. Okay. Give me all the parts and pieces. Yeah. So I get a lot of that too. And said, oh, or someone will come to the project. I'm looking to do X. I'm like, oh, well, you need a system like Lintec to provide the switching and the sequencing, et cetera, et cetera. And then we kind of go into that discussion of why controls are important, because they're trying to do all these things and they think that Johnny can just go around switching things all day long and it's just going to work magically. Yeah. Well, that's with right. Products like Lintec, yeah, it would work, but it needs to be programmed and installed.
Yes. Yes. And to do the installation, I mean, you know, there's always, even when it's designed in by a consultant, you know, there's an integrator on site. So, mm-hmm. you know, we work with all the different integration companies, and then, you know, they'll come and buy their spares or their maintenance pieces and that type of stuff direct. But, you know, we do rely a lot on the consultant community. But our dealer network is growing much faster, and that's hopefully where most of this business is going to go. You know, because we need those kinds of guys supporting the end user, you know, the guy who actually calls in for help. Because you only have to install it once, and you know how to work on it pretty much every time you got a maintenance call.
Sure. What if I have a project, a large project, and I say, okay, Lintec is definitely the correct product for this scenario.
Yes.
And I've never deployed the system before. Does Lintec provide services as far as design aspects go? This is what I'm dealing with. Here's all the parts and pieces of what we're proposing with lighting, controls, AV, etc. Could you help someone like me or another person listening perhaps right now on how or what from Lintec is needed to get what they're looking for?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We do that now, not daily, but certainly weekly. Yeah, I mean, really all we need to know is about how many circuits you're looking at controlling. And mm-hmm. people have done so much as to actually send us the fixtures specification sheets. So, because they don't even know if they need, you know, 208 or 110 volt, you right. know, do they need single or double pole? They're not sure. So they send us. So, yeah, we'll make sure they're getting the right size breakers and the breakers are sized right. We help them, you know, come out with the kind of control they need, the kind of panel they need, you know, what their panel schedule needs to look like and that kind of thing. Where we do most of that actually is in relay panels, though, because, you know, most of the circuit breaker panels are specified in by people that have a professional engineer on some level, you know, grading or overseeing the project. But on lighting retrofit and that kind of stuff, usually where you're looking at relay panel retrofit control, where they're just adding the switches but not the circuit breaker piece.
Right.
You know, that's where we really provide a lot of support for people.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I've seen, like you talk about a lot of big brand names from, you know, whoever. All the names you just mentioned that I don't really need to mention again. But it's similar to where, you know, like you say, it's easy. Like, okay, I've never used this product before, but it's a relay system. I get how it works. It may have an astronomical time clock, assign load one to do this, time of day, et cetera, et cetera. And you kind of just go through the motions of setting them up. And for the most part, they're pretty basic. There's not a whole lot to it, right? It's a relay system.
Right.
But I like the idea that, like, yours has actual software, if you will, or at least a web interface to give it a bit more smarts and controls to it than just that. Then so okay, here's, you know, kind of like digging like up over one down. You can actually let go and assign, okay, it's this time of day, do this. It's just a bit, it sounds more user friendly. It sounds a bit more well thought out, and you guys have been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, and we, like I said, we have to be easy to use or else there's no place for us to fit. I mean,
sure.
If our control system wasn't a lot easier to work with, there would be no reason to have us around. And you know, what happens regularly is that people will tell us, you know, they didn't, you know, the problem any company has is that all the marketing guys get hold of it and everybody ultimately uses the same words, right? Everybody uses the word easy, you know, which is why we hope people go to the videos and see it, because if they see the actual screenshots of and how, because to your point, you know, when you set up your astronomical clock and you do a drop down, you'll see every option that you have. You just
scroll,
move your mouse up and click the one you want.
Right? Yeah.
And then click save. That's all you have to do. So when people really do use it, I mean, we get a lot of compliments, and simple's the name of the game in our world. It has to be something that the integrator could go back out and program as opposed to calling in the manufacturer's technical field people to have to do for them. I mean, and we hope it becomes, you know, we hope dealers make more money off of our stuff because, you know, they can do it themselves and not have to just mark up our services 10% or, you know, whatever.
We talked about, you know, like switching and sequencing and things like that. When you talk about lighting controls, you said, you know, there was the old DMX and things like that. Is it typically just sequencing and switching, or is there dimming assigned as well?
Well, there's dimming still. The sequencing really applies to video walls. I mean, because you're turning on essentially, you know, 30 lights simultaneously or whatever mm-hmm. it is. Every panel is the equivalent of a couple of fixtures. Well, then those need to be sequenced. But really for the LED conversions, I mean, we work almost primarily exclusively with smart or performance lighting, not typically your architectural or your overhead lighting. I mean, you know, we're working with lighting that the smarts, the dimming has moved to the fixture.
Yep.
Now, you know, in every installation, every theater that we're in or every church, there are still non-LED fixtures out there. There have to be, right? There's a mix. And yeah, we still see dimming out there, but what we see, and you'll see this, by the way, when you go to the show, I mean, what a lot of the dimming companies are talking about now are their four packs or their eight packs, their ability to dim small sets of fixtures where they're placed, mm-hmm. does that make sense? As opposed to having the big dimmer racks in the back.
Right.
So the dimmer racks in the back have gone away, but they've given way to these four packs and eight packs of dimming modules that can be moved around wherever those incandescents are. And then, of course, the LEDs, they don't need those dimmers. They go straight back to the power panel where we turn them on and off. And the great thing about LED lights, and you know, it's funny because, you know, when LEDs first came out, everybody said, well, they draw so much power in standby, we don't need to turn them off. It's silly to turn off an LED light when it's only pulling a few watts in standby.
Still pulling power.
Well, it is still pulling power. And that's and as the lights got brighter, those standby draws have gone up because it takes more input to get more output, right?
Right.
So they are drawing more current than they used to. But there's a bigger issue that and a bigger reason why people have said, and even the LED lighting fixture manufacturers say these need to be turned off and not just left on in standby. And the reason is because the fixture will burn out far faster than the lamps will now.
Hmm.
Used to be that your lamp burned out first, right?
Right.
You might go through four or five lamps before your fixture burns out. Well, now you've got a lamp that can go 50, 75,000 hours. Your fixture's only going to last 3,000 or 4,000 hours if you don't turn it off. Because the thing about the power draw in an LED fixture is that the electronics are fully powered because they're constantly listening for a DMX command or a streaming ACN command, right?
Right.
So you've got your power supply fully energized and you have all your processors fully energized. You've only got to burn one resistor out somewhere and you just blew your whole fixture. So is what people are finding out is the manufacturers were telling people, don't worry about power control, you don't need it. And then 3 years later, they were saying, make sure you put power control on this because their early adopters were coming back saying, hey, man, you sold me a bad lamp. You said it was going to last for 75,000 hours. And he said, well, your lamp's still good. Your fixture's burnt out.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't do anybody any good.
Right.
So really is what happens by turning off a fixture and taking it out of standby to where it's absolutely, I mean, first of all, it's going to reset itself. But it's going to have a chance to cool off. Your power supply is going to last longer. Your electronics are going to last longer. Therefore, your fixture lasts longer. And the customer is more likely to be happy when there finally is a maintenance problem. But it's going to be much further down the road, maybe an extra decade down the road, as opposed to constantly leaving it on.
Typically, what I see with LEDs is you're correct. It's the driver that's bad. Either like it's either the driver right out of the gate is bad, or that's the first thing to go is the driver, not the diode itself. The diode is generally the one that lasts the lifetime. It's the electronics or the driver powering unit behind it. That's the one
yep.
that'll go. And that's yep. a great example of why. And then it's like, oh, no. Anytime that's anything wrong with it, the manufacturer is going to ship that driver first. That's the first, you know, it's most likely yeah. this. I guarantee it. And it usually is. There's like that one case that it wouldn't be, and there's just something, a short or whatever. But it's generally the driver.
Yep.
What about anything new for Lintec? Where do you see Lintec moving forward? Do you audio video was its bread and butter for many years, and now lighting seems to be a big wave again. Do you see a new expansion for that, or just moving forward with more lighting because of LED?
More and more of our customers have asked us to get into architectural control. And in order to get into architectural control, I need to bring out what you just talked about, which is the ability to dim. Because non-intelligent LED lighting, or just the lighting overhead, the architectural lighting still needs to be dimmed. So right. In a theater, the LED fixture dims the lamp. But in architectural, they don't have intelligent fixtures yet, so those still need to be dimmed. And a lot of our customers are telling us that we need a dimming capability. Like California, for instance, in Title 24, it not only requires automated on-off of circuits and all lighting, but it also requires automated dimming if the sunlight is bright enough so that they don't require full lighting, right?
So daylight harvesting, correct.
Daylight harvesting. Well, in order to do that, you need dimming. So we are actively working on an expansion into not just the on-off, but the dimming as well, so that we can break out of the pro ADL space into architectural as well.
So here's where I see maybe a suggestion. Another manufacturer of lighting controls.
Yes.
Here in California, we have Title 24, you just mentioned, right? So there's a few ways to do it. There's generally, with that type of work in commercial, it's 0 to 10 voltage. That's just the way it goes for commercial. 0 to 10 all day long. And it's great. A lot of guys aren't familiar with it, and they are wiring incorrectly, and I just wired everything together, and Title 24, crap, I got windows, this has to be a zone, I need this, and yep. I wired all of them together, so they're basically all just one zone, which is incorrect. That can't be done that way, because of the windows is one area, depending on how it's laid out, it needs to be split into multiple zones. Well, if they use this manufacturer's specific driver that can be individually addressed in the software, it doesn't matter. I can say, okay, well, fixtures 1 through 12, or zone 1, fixtures 13 through X are zone 2, and I just save them a ton of labor on a mess up that they did because they didn't plan it out correctly, because of the drivers can be individually addressed. Now, that's only if they use their drivers initially that costs a bit more because they're capable of doing so. If they use a generic 0 to 10 volt driver, they're getting back up there and rewiring everything.
Right.
But the idea of that itself, individually addressed drivers for LED lighting, is phenomenal because of that very reason. In larger spaces throughout its building's lifespan, the rooms change. They aren't always set for this all the time. A generic learning space may be moved around and maybe partition walls were put up. Oh, now this zone has become a two-zone split, or the three, however it's split. Someone needs to get up there and rewire it. But if they have these addressable drivers, it's just a simple programming software change. I'm done. I just readjust it, and I don't have to climb back up there. There's a fraction of the labor needs to be done as opposed to physically hardwiring. And that's another thing that I tell people about lighting controls, is that with lighting controls, I can change things via the software or switching versus something that's hardwired. In traditional switching, it's always going to be this switch forever. Unless you physically climb up there and rewire this building, this home, whatever, that's basically what you get. But with smart controls, like we talked about, I can change it for you because things change over time, especially in commercial. I think that might be a nice avenue to go, but I don't know if you guys are in the market of producing drivers. That might be an LED manufacturer.
Well, yeah, we won't produce the driver, but we have found some that allow us to do pretty much what you just described, which is to dim at the circuit level. So as so you could dim by zone, and as you reconfigure your zones, that would change the dimming as well, what gets dimmed. So yeah. We're hoping to have a solution not as good as the one you just described, but certainly closer than a lot of the other solutions that are out there. But come check us out at LDI. We're hoping to be able to show that at LDI and then get people's feedback and maybe make a formal introduction next spring at Light Fair or something. But anyway, so I hate to turn tail and run out of the AVL space, but I think there's a lot of great control companies in the AV space, and we've certainly carved out our niche, but The greener pastures for us are to allow our customers who do performance spaces and architectural to use us on both fronts. And that's what we hope to do.
Okay, Mark, if anyone out there is listening and they have more questions about Lintec, they want to learn more, maybe they're interested about becoming a dealer, or they have a project. I have a project in my mind. Lintec is perfect. How do I reach out to you and get more information about proceeding forward?
Oh, well, I mean, anything is simple.
Call the company.
Call the company. Lintec.com also has a contact page on it where you can get hold of us. You can write directly to info@lintec.com if that would work better. 800-724-4047 is our 800 number. We would love to hear from folks. We'd love to get feedback. We'd love to hear from people that are interested in being dealers. If they're interested in learning more before they call, as I mentioned, we have our own YouTube channel, Lintec Power, all one word, LYNTEC Power, on YouTube, and you can see our setup videos and how they operate, and I walk you through a couple of demos on there and that type of stuff. All 3 to 5 minute videos, but there's, we've got a slew of them up there if you'd like to take a look at those. And of course we're, on Facebook and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. But, we're trying to make ourselves as available as possible, but usually, the phone or info@lintec.com probably works best.
Perfect. You mentioned YouTube, and other online presence such as, and let me pull up my monitor, which is currently not being my friend. Let's see if I can do this without shutting everything down, because that would be horrible. I don't want to do all that. If you go to linkedin.com/company/Lintec, LYNTEC-power-control-simplified, that's LinkedIn. If you're a Twitter person, you want to get your information in bite size, 140 characters or less, head over to Twitter and it's @LintecPower. Again, that's LYNTEC Power. If you're more of a Facebook fan and you want to check them out there, give them a like at facebook.com/Lintec, LYNTEC. If you haven't already went to their website, it's lintec.com, again, LYNTEC.com. Check out all these products for them. Check them out, LDI coming up. And if you have any questions for me, you can email me personally about my show. Tell me that you hated it. Tell me that you want to be on the show. Maybe you just want to talk about technology. I'm open for all that stuff. It's Johnny, JohnnyMota, 3. That's JohnnyMota3 @gmail.com. I'm on Twitter @JMota3, Facebook, Instagram's all the same, etc., 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 Google+. Google me. I'm sure I'm out there somewhere. The only question is, you just don't know if I'm the evil twin or if I'm the good one. But either way, someone will respond at the email that I gave you. And if you want to listen to other Rave Radio shows, that's over at ravepubs.com. Check them out there on the Rave Radio Network. Again, this has been AV Insider. My name is Johnny Mota. Mark, thank you for taking the time to speak with me and educate me and the listeners about your awesome services. We look forward to having you back on the show. Maybe when you have those cool drivers coming back or after LDI.
You got it.
That'd be great. So, everyone, this has been AV Insider. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next show. And that is everything I have to say for this current moment in time.